Welcome back to the EJ, everyone. So today's episode, we talk about teams and the importance of teams, how to find them, how to hire them, best practices in keeping a great team, and just how to be a great leader with those teams. However, this episode almost didn't happen because of some blooper footage that we got from Dr. Brandon. So I'm going to leave most of it out, but it was so funny. Dr. Jason and I could barely even talk. We were laughing so hard. So if you hear us laughing at the beginning of this episode, that would be why. So we'll jump right in. Yeah.
Right. Recording?
Yes, we have been this whole time. I got
all right, listeners, welcome back to the EJ. We had a little technical difficulties leading into the show, but we're back and we're ready now. And we're still laughing from it. Anyway.
Trying not to laugh out loud.
But we're going to get to work here. And so it's good to hear our voices back. And as usual, it's time has flown by and we're happy to be back with you. But today we want to talk about building a dream team, keeping a dream team. As you lay out your vision for whatever your business is, and we know that you know, your vision is your baby and it's very clear in your head and where you want to go and your goals, it's very tough to get that same vision adopted by your staff, and not only adopted, but really believed in, where they buy into your vision at a level that they want to help you achieve what your mission is. And that's not just to make a ton of money. That's every entrepreneur has that. But there's also the side of, you know, for us, chiropractic world, we're out to change the face of healthcare. You know, we're out to educate people, change the paradigm of health, and let people have a deeper understanding so they take care of their family the right way. That's another part of our vision, in addition to being very successful. So the key is, you know, how do you get rid of those people that are just looking to punch a time clock? How do you get rid of those people that are just looking to come in and have a job? And how do you get people that are going to help you build your empire, and that people that you are excited to see them every Monday morning and hang out with them? So let's dive into that conversation and see what you guys are thinking. What's some of the first things you look for? Let's start with that. How do you even find the people to come in, to interview them, to hire them?
Right. So Chelsea and I do this all the time, whether it's with doctors or office managers, because we know how important this is. You just said it, to create that right team. So I think we utilize the normal sources you guys would think of, the Indeeds and the job sites that are out there. Those are great ways to get lump sums of people. For me anyway, you guys can say if you differently, I don't get a whole lot off a piece of paper on a resume. I want to see it. I want to look at it. If there's spelling errors, if there's things, I mean, right out the window there right away, if that's the case. But I can't tell much from seeing a person's resume. To me, they all look the same. So I guess that's doesn't help me a whole lot when I'm looking at those, but I like to do more like group interview styles. Chelsea, what are you looking at when you first bring these people on? Then we'll go into what I mean by group interview styles. But
yeah, I mean, it definitely depends on the position that we're looking for at the time. But I think with the resumes, I do like to pull a little bit of information off of them, just what types of experience they've had, not necessarily how much or what company it was for, but just what different types of experience, just because I know, for example, for a CA, sometimes it's nice to know if they've had customer service experience, just because I think that's super important. Honestly, I think everybody should have some customer service experience in their life at some point, or not be allowed to go to restaurants because we've all had those awesome customers. But so looking at that, and then like you said, personality, it's so important to be able to meet with that person, whether it's maybe just on the phone at the first meeting, but a Zoom call is great, just because then you can actually look at that person, see their body language, see their excitement, enthusiasm about the position they're talking about, or their confidence. So I think those are some of the key points at the very beginning. Honestly, it's amazing how many people will apply for a position and I'll respond back with, great, we're going to have a group Zoom interview. Here are all the details. And just to see how many fall off from that point, like, right. it goes down almost 50%.
And whether it's, can they figure out how to get on the call? And they,
world is how you separate yourself from the pack. So I think it's not anyone that just has a canned resume that they typed in that just has where they went to high school, where they went to college. You know, like the world of selling yourself is about what you're going to do for other people. So I don't really want to know their entire life story. A brief explanation of kind of where they've been makes sense. But I want to know, one, how they deliver it, how they email it to me, how they got it to me, did they follow up with a phone call? You know, there's ways that they can set themselves apart from their competition by doing that. I also love it when people include on that why this, like it was a resume made for this position, not just one they printed 300 off and sent them to everyone that was looking for a job. But I want them to kind of say, here's what I can add to your business as I see it. And here's where I think this is the perfect fit for me. That to me is going to at least make me, earmark the corner of that resume to put that kind of on the top of the pile of like, I liked how this doc, girl, guy, whatever, applied for this position. And especially, you know, we see the emails come through all the time. Mm-hmm. If it's inquiring about position, that's okay. If it's like your next top doctor or your next record setter, or the perfect CA for your position.
Yeah, I'm at least like,
it's hard to be like, nah, not that one. You're like, all right, let's see, let's prove it. Mm-hmm. And then of course, yes, in person, how they show up, how they talk, how they carry themselves, how they follow up with it is very important. I think that when people thank me for the opportunity to jump on that Zoom call, or they really appreciate my time making a phone call, that says a lot to me about how they're going to treat other people when they come into my world. That's something I look for all the time, maybe more so than others.
One question I asked on the last interviews, my wife Rebecca and I did for an office manager for one of our clinics. We asked them, because it's such a tough question, not even a tough question, but it evokes emotion and responses of, I said, what's the perfect ingredient that's supposed to go on a pizza? Because if you've had this debate with your friends, they're like, never put pineapple. Oh God, it's only pepperoni here. Or I think we said coffee. What's the exact perfect coffee or the perfect ice cream? People have their debates on this, and it has nothing to do with the job. I just wanted to see how they responded. We were on a Zoom meeting, so you could see their smile. You could see their body language, their emotion as they started to explain this stupid question. Some of them even made like a face of like, what the hell does this have to do with the job? But I really wanted to know, who is this person more so? Don't give me, again, a canned answer about why you thought you're a hard worker or what you would do on the phone or like, what's the best pizza ingredient? And it was really cool.
What's the proper answer to that?
Pineapple and jalapenos.
So. What was it?
Pineapple and jalapenos on a pizza.
I would get down on that.
With some ham as well.
Yeah.
What was the worst answer that someone said?
Oh, like a veggie cheese. One? Yeah. I'm like, what? No, you got to have some meat on your pizza.
You don't want a veggie.
I usually like pineapple, jalapeno, and pepperoni instead of Canadian bacon. But.
Or if they screwed up the coffee and were like, I don't drink coffee. You're out. Gee, good Lord. Could have said anything, Americano, macchiato, but don't drink coffee. You're out.
I don't care for pizza much, but if I did, I probably just want some
cauliflower crust with
cheese.
No.
Well, thanks for playing.
Anyway, it was just a fun, stupid thing, but it brought out their character a little bit, who they were a little bit more, and I guess that's what I was really looking for in that position. They have to talk with people up front. They're very interactive with our patients. I wanted to see how they answered that. So
yeah, I think asking questions that brings people's excitement out, because asking questions about like, how do you feel like you're multitask? Yeah, that stuff's all boring. But when you ask people like, what do you like to do when you're not at work? Like, tell me about one of your like free time hobbies, or you get them going on something that they're really passionate about, and you can see the potential in them for sure.
I like asking, I say, okay, you're at the front desk in the office. The phone is ringing. Dr. Jason just asked you to come over and help with the patient, and a new patient just walked in the front door. Walk me through how you handled that scenario right there. Because in our clinics, it is like that. You're multitasking all over. And I just wanted to see what the response was, if they freaked out, or if they're like, I don't know, I'd have to figure it out. Or if they really work through those scenarios, giving them some real world situations.
Well, and I think you can find a lot about too. I mean, like you said, don't ask the canned questions that they know the pre-recorded answer to, that, you know, everyone can answer. But it's more, I like to dig into like, especially their previous employment, you know, what was the thing they liked the least about their last job? Because you can start to see if people become super high maintenance, you know, they can give you clues. Like I couldn't stand how busy it was, or I couldn't stand how much we had to work, or how demanding it was. They leave clues of like, okay, that's a problem, because we're probably busier than they were type thing. If it's something more to the effect of they couldn't use their skill set to the level that they knew it could help, that's more what you want to see. You want to see someone that can navigate a conversation like that. Thinking on your toes is everything. Because, you know, for instance, the people that run our front desk, they probably have to think on their toes 100 times a day. Someone asks them a question, most of which they know the answer to, but how do you answer that question in a customer service way to exceed the patient's expectations and give them the knowledge that they need? And on top of that, in the healthcare world, there are certain rules and things and stuff that you can say and not say. So we just want to have people that are quick thinkers and are relationship people and can communicate. That's really important for certain any job.
So I think that flows into where we could take this next. So we've found a team, we've located them from whatever various sources. You did the group interviews, you asked the goofy questions, and you picked these, what you think is a great person. Mm-hmm. So now what we think at that moment, you have to train them into what you want to be, these rock star people down the road. Mm-hmm. So how do we start to go and bring them into this vision, like you said, Jason, get them to adopt what we're believing in? After we've made the initial selection, they still are raw and rookies. They don't know anything. So where do we start to go from there?
Well, biggest weakness, I think, in employees in general, in any industry, is training.
Yeah.
And so people grab that person, throw them behind the front desk, have them read a manual real quick or something, and just wait for them to make a mistake. Like, you know how it is. Think back to that time when you were new. Like, you just feel like awkward. You don't know where to stand, whose way you're in, what to say. You want to do everything, but you need someone to really lead you through that process before they just throw you out there. And so the key is to have a developed training plan that's going to take people through the stages. And we're all about making them, you know, there's, to a certain extent, you throw them in the water to teach them how to
swim. Yeah, there's learning moments.
See them, how they do that. But I don't want to just leave them at the front desk while I go about my day and think they're going to be just as good as the person that was there before them. You know, they need to have someone mentor them through that process so they can feel comfortable. And I would say at least the first week, if not 2 or 3 weeks, is just kind of soaking everything in. It's learning, it's studying, it's the online stuff, it's all that, but it's also just real world experience. So to answer your question, the first thing is develop a training system that's going to give that person a fair shake at actually becoming the employee that you want them to be.
Yeah, so I think
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think a lot of employers think they have a training system, but they also forget going all the way back to the basics of that position, or maybe they're not that great at that position. So find somebody who dominates in that position, because for example, in our clinics, the doctor doesn't know every single thing the CA might do. Rebecca, the head CA trainer, she does. So leave it to someone who is an expert in that position to help develop the training systems, and then start from square one. Don't assume that they know how to do anything in that position. And then if it's a review for them, then I think it's great, review it. But I think making sure that they get everything from square one, so then they can just build and build and build on top of the foundations.
You just said something interesting there, trying to identify, we call it aces in places here, but identifying where people are really strong. An example, if someone's great at that initial meeting with the patient, the initial phone call, that initial contact with the person, identifying that person to that's all they do. They contact new leads, they contact people when they come in, they're just all over that. Other people maybe are great with finances, and they say, I can sit down and I can go over cost and show people packages and plans and programs that they could purchase from your business. Others are scared to death. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't talk about money. I think identifying that quickly up front of where they're great at, and then letting them know that. I like to tell them that. I can say, I can feel you're uncomfortable talking about finances, or holy cow, you're so great with meeting new people, and you just light up the room when they come in, and it's, that's where we want to have you.
But and I think taking that even a step further too, yeah. Like, I think you should know which ace you're trying to hire before you even hire them, because if you already have one, you know what they excel at, so you need to kind of look for, characteristics or skills in the next person that you're going to hire that will counter or complement the person.
I think that could be tough at times too. Sometimes you don't always know if someone's great at discussing finances. I think your bubbly personalities, your outgoing people are going to be awesome at your front desk, you know, your first point of contact.
I think a lot of people though try to hire their, like, they have their ace and then they lost their B player and they try to rehire the same person. And sometimes that doesn't always work, because it's like, they're really both good at the same things. So just making sure that you know what your A player what they're good at and what they love to do, because that's what they'll excel at.
Yeah, and even play some word association when it comes down to finances a little bit. See what their thoughts are. So if you're looking for people that are going to sell high-end Audis, right, and you say, you know, you just say, hey, just curious what you think about a car that cost $100,000 to $200,000. That's good. If they're like, oh my God, who could do that? I can't believe people spend that on cars.
Probably not your go-to.
That's just athletes that do that. You know, like that's not your person that needs to come in. But if they're like, hey, you know what? If you can afford the quality there, and like people work hard to earn that, what an incredible moment for, like, that's what you want. 'Cause that's how they're going to communicate with people. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to sell stuff that they don't believe in themselves. So many people are trying to sell something they don't even buy themselves, which takes it back to even the more important thing than what we're talking about is sitting down with that person. And I'm talking about the head person in all possibilities, if not then the general manager or the regional director or whatever, and just saying, here's the vision of this company. In other words, here's the why. So everything we're telling you of what you have to train on, there's a purpose behind that. Why do we want to exceed every expectation? Why do we have an empowerment session where we educate the patient on making good decisions? It's because here's our vision. Here's what we want to do. And then read that to them, and not such a robotic way of like, here's our vision, the vision, you know, because everyone has that up on their wall. Mm-hmm. It's actually explaining, here's what this means to us. I'd love to hear your feedback on that and see what they say back. And they should act interested. They should ask questions. They should say, what does that mean? How does that play out? You want them to start to interact. That's how they start to buy in to what your vision of your company is. If they're not part of your vision, they're just a short-term player. And those people have a role. Like, there's people that come and go in your life that just play a role. You know, they fill a space. But when you're developing your dream team, you're not going to find a space filler that's just going to sit there and do everything you want to do. It's just a matter of time. They're more worried about benefits, hours, can I have weeks off, can I have that? And those are the things you want to avoid. You got to get someone that buys into what you're selling to your clients.
I think one thing that's really important too, after someone, you go through all of that and they understand it, they are passionate about it before they even know what, you know, everything is also laying out clear expectations for the new person and the team too. So I think it's nice for the new hire to know what is expected of them. And then also they can know what they can expect of you and the other team players or team members. And then also, like, if you have a trainer, you know, your team or your A player, make sure they know what expectations are on them to help train, just so that everybody knows what, you know, what the game plan is and who's going to be doing what, so things aren't getting missed.
Yeah, I love that. We try to teach our teams to do that in chunks, like monthly, weekly, daily chunks of the expectations. So certainly we'd sit down and go over our month. Hey, here's goals, different things we want to hit. I let our whole team know that and why, the why behind it, like Jason mentioned. But then we take it back down to the week. Okay, so this week, in order to get there, here's what we're going to do. All the way to the day. We actually have our doctors trained to do this daily before the shift even starts, a pre-shift meeting, where you go through this type of stuff of, hey, this person's coming in. Remember, this hour, we have these three people here. There's a financial discussion here. We have to get, I don't know. And everyone knew. So when the curtains pulled back and the show begins, everyone was in their places. They knew what was going on. Nothing really threw us off. Nothing got us distracted from our day. But that was all planned out at 7:15 in the morning before we opened our doors at 8.
Yeah, expectations are big, because people, if it changes daily or no one even knows, not only here's the goal that we have, like you said, but my expectation is the role you're going to play in achieving that goal is the following. Mm-hmm. And whether it's all the way down to the basic of cleaning the front desk area, all the way up to the highest level of maybe like attracting new clients, like, what does that person come in? What do you see their job being? And, you know, because so often people throw them up there and then they're let down 2 weeks later, but they never gave the person even a chance.
Right.
The first mistake they had, they just zing them. Like, I can't believe you did that. Or worse yet, they save up and don't say anything for like 3 weeks. And then they just like vomit everything wrong that's happened for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people at the core want to be treated as a part of the team. Like, they, even if they're the lowest level employee in the entire operation, they want to know that they're an integral part of what's going on. People want a voice. People want a career. A lot of people want that. And when you provide that for people, it's not going to matter if you pay a quarter, a dollar, $20,000 a year less than other people, because that person actually looks forward to coming to work to play a part in a vision that's bigger than just coming in and getting a paycheck.
So I thought I opened up that door for you. I was waiting for the sports analogy, so I'll steal it from you because I figured it was coming. But this is like a football team, right? So whatever play the coach sends in the play, guys get up to the line. They say, hut, snap the ball. The tackles push off to the left, driving hard that way. Quarterback rolls right. He knows where he's got to go. Running back takes the fake handoff. Receivers run their routes. And then the quarterback knows, okay, here's my option one, option two, option three. So every expectation was set up months ago at their summer training camps of this is what my one job is. Like you said, maybe it's the C player, the offensive tackle driving a person to the right. But if we know if that doesn't happen, guess what? That dude's right in the face of the quarterback, starts to throw out the whole entire play. So we get to see all the touchdowns and the crazy catches and the cool things that happen. What we missed was all the preparation beforehand that those guys on the field knew, but we didn't get to even see every little detail that had to go into that to make that play perfect. So
did you call a tackle a C player? Like there's some big dudes that don't like being called a C player.
But in the fans' lives, who's like, that's my favorite right offensive tackle. They don't say that.
Highest paid position.
Oh, you're right.
On the team.
Okay, you're right. Sorry. But that's not who's going to wear it. You're not buying the tackle's jersey to wear, are you? Whose jersey you got? No, right. Yeah. All the studs, the stars are like the guys that are getting all the credit. You're right. It was done from the tackles, the trenches.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
If those guys didn't do their job, none of that shit would happen. So
another thing I really like are when as an employee or a person who comes in as kind of the newbie, I like having training milestones too. And I know that every different training like outline and layout looks a little bit different, but I think it's cool to know that after you train for 1 week, you get the opportunity to do this now. And then after you have done all of these things, you get the opportunity to do this. So it's not necessarily like you're going to have to do this. I think the way that you present it is like once you sit in on, you know, 2 to 3 financials at any point, be expected to go do a financial. Like, and so people just know and also get excited to have more responsibility put on their plate because I mean, that's what people who are going to be your A players and your dream team are going to be looking for. They're not looking for just, oh, I have to do this now or I have to do that. They're excited for more opportunity to grow.
Well, and a fun environment is crucial as well. I mean, you want people to actually enjoy. I mean, you need to create not like they're scared for people looking over their shoulder all the times. But I think another component is the training is ongoing. It's daily. Mm-hmm. And so it's so much more than here's our manual or here's our resource. Like every single day, you want that person. The way to include them in your vision is to actually speak with them every morning and every after shift. So pre-shift, post-shift in our world. About like the role they played. And so you let them know, like this is 1 minute manager type stuff, right? Back if you haven't read that by Blanchard, right? I believe, refresh your memory because it's all about building up credibility. So when you have something negative to say, you have that credibility. You're not just gonna be the person that comes in and screams and rants. So, you know, hey, that was fantastic how you handled that. Man, you're sounding great on the phone. I really love how organized the front desk look. One thing I wanted to discuss was, though, that conversation you had with Mary Smith. Maybe let's talk about a couple different ways that could have gone and, you know, how that may have helped the outcome a little bit. That's a way to approach somebody throughout the day, and that's how they learn, not just hold up to the review and be like, well, your conversation skills are no good. You're not, you know, no one wants to have you blasted like that. So every day, spend a little time building that culture inside them and really getting them to the level that you want them to be. And then, yes, people will go that you may have created a C player. People, at a certain extent, it's not you, it's them. So you've done everything you can. You provide the environment. You train daily. You motivate. You inspire. All of that. Then it's up for them to determine, are they a C player, a B player, or an A player?
And the that's a why player, I broke up with all my boyfriends. It was never me. It was always them.
That's why, that's how it is, right? So it's that once they realize that. But they have to – the A players are going to step up early. You're going to see that day one. They're the ones that are saying, let me do a financial. Can I take on more? Can I stay late and watch? Do you mind if I come in on Saturday to do it? Like, those are the kind of questions A players are asking. C players are asking, what time is lunch? What time can we get out of here again? I didn't know I had to work this late. Like, they're bitching and moaning already about stuff. So determine that. And then the other thing is cut ties when you need to. If you have a D player,
yes,
just get rid of them.
Yes.
They're not going to change. You're going to drive yourself nuts on that. So, you know, there's so many things you need to monitor with these people, yet the entire chance of you achieving your entrepreneurial dreams really rests in the hands of these people because they deliver your message. They talk to the client more than you do. And so you've got to hire and train a great staff. It's that important. Otherwise, you'll never do what you want to do.
I don't want to focus on the negative, but I think it's important to reiterate what you said there, of the firing of the D players. Like, I've seen so many doctors and leaders hang on to people for reasons I don't ever understand. Comfort. Right. Yeah, I guess so. Comfort probably. But they'll make excuses and they'll say, well, I think it's getting better. And they'll hold on and they don't like the being uncomfortable, having that discussion of firing someone. But every time, every single time we've seen it and they do it, it's this relief off of their shoulders. It's a relief off their team. So many things are going better. And they're like, God, why didn't I do that before? So if that's the case, yeah, pull the trigger and get it moving forward.
Hopefully. So the next big problem after you have, you know, trained and developed an amazing team is making sure that you can keep that team. So what are some ways that you guys like to incentivize or motivate and empower teams to just keep growing and stay around?
Jason just hinted at one thing there of having set review periods. I think everyone likes to know, how am I doing? What could I get better at? So we build those in into our systems to review every 6 months, every year, and really sit down and take some time to go through that. You know, write it out, get your thoughts on paper, put down what you think is awesome. Here's the challenges to work through, and really have that discussion with that person. I think we do this with our kids. We do this with our spouses. We sometimes don't do this with our employees.
Your spouse has a 6 month review.
Yeah, hers is coming up next week, actually. So, no, but we talk through, not a review, you dumbass. More of like we talk out each other's problems. So, Rebecca's nervous about her review, by the way.
So. Hoping for a raise.
We're not getting one.
But by the way, that I think, you know, we always do a 90-day probationary period. So they know, like, yeah, you know, this is just to see if it's a fit. And then we'll move you to full time. And then, yeah, every 6 months, I think you have to sit down with them. I think pay is a part of it, Chels. I think people deserve to make money. I mean, yeah, that's really ultimately why we're working. So, I mean, we need to make a great income.
It's certainly not everything, though. You're right.
Yeah, not everything. Said,
some people don't respond to just pay raises. You know, they're more responsive to, I want to be involved with things.
Right.
I want to, you know, I want to feel like part of the team.
Responsibility, yeah, also. Yeah. There's so many baseline stuff that you have to do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, above and beyond that, you can separate yourself through the benefits you provide, for vacations you provide, the environment, doing daily, you know, fun things with the staff and team and things like that also goes a long, long way. I think one thing that's overlooked on this is overworking people to an amount where you don't want to hire a second, third assistant. So you put everything on this one person, man, and they're just exhausted. Like they're doing the work of three, and it's because, you know, you don't want to bring someone else on. You know, that person should be able to get everything done, smile, as long as they're diligent and working and things like that. You need to know when the time is to bring someone else on. That's going to allow you to expand and also to take pressure off that team. So, you know, you need to know when it's time to invest in your business and hire another person. Mm-hmm. And if that person is an A player, they're going to bring you more revenue than it even costs for them. You know, we've long said that. And when you cut a check to an employee, that's an asset, right? That's not a liability. Those are people that are absolutely driving you to build your company. You know, we've been blessed to surround ourselves with the likes of you two, but I mean, many others that are just phenomenal. And, you know, we genuinely enjoy each other's company, and we enjoy getting together with all of our partners and our docs. I mean, it's a group that actually enjoys being together and shares that common vision. But at the same time, we all want to make some money and have a good time. And, you know, we all have our individual goals with our families and stuff as well. So I think, you know, you've got to provide a top-notch environment that's gonna outperform other people, because people could leave you if you don't have the better place to stay. And it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. So, all right, what else? What else do we do to keep these people? And, you know, what's something you could do? Let's ask this question this way. What's something you can do that people don't know right now that is going to hire or keep somebody, that's not the same bullshit that everyone says? What's something right now that's unique? Give everyone a nugget right here.
I would go back to your vision. I really feel it's important to get them on board with what you're doing. And it's not like making money. Like in our profession in chiropractic, I want them to know what my goal is, to change the face of my community's view on health. I mean, I want them to understand that big time, of this is what we're literally trying to accomplish. Yeah, we do that through adjustments, and we do that through vitamins that we sell them, and we do that through the packages. Those are the systems that we get there with. But if they're not fully on board, and I talk about this with my doctors, I talk about this with the staff members. If they're not fully on board with that, then I don't know. I just can't bring them on and teach them all that. They got to have at least some belief in what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to work towards smaller goals if people have that big picture goal in mind and have it explained to them until they fully understand it on their own. Just having it broken down, like Dr. Brandon was saying, you know, explaining it to them and just gives them something bigger to work towards versus just like the weekly goal or something. So
I would say something that's always worked well, and I think you guys could say if this is true or not, but I think I've done a good job of showing people long-term how this could play into their career. And so I think that you can make an extra dollar here or a dollar more an hour or 50 more thousand a year or whatever. That's fun. People want to know that. But when they see where you're going, and this is tough, if you're just like, hey, we're just going to have one little jewelry shop, that's all we're going to ever have. And so, I mean, that may be a little tougher, but if you're like an entrepreneur, that's like, this is just the start of things. We're about to change the world with whatever we're doing. You know, this one restaurant's going to become 500. This one chiropractor is going to become 500, whatever. You let people know, like, this is how I see your role evolving. And so someday you're right now the second tier assistant at the front desk. I see that evolving in 5-6 years to the vice president of the western half of the United States of all CA training and development or something like that, where they start to see, holy shit, like people want to have something long term. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to know just they're just going to have a job, because we're talking like 50 years. People don't want to work 50 years doing the same thing, or very few people do. The A players you want don't want that. They want to be challenged. They want to know they're going to continue to grow as a person and a position. So I think you need to paint a picture of how amazing this can get for these people. And when you do that, they get excited to help you achieve that because they benefited from it as much as you do as well. So that would be another thing I would say.
I will say you've done that well. Turn the recording button off for a second, Chelsea. I'm going to compliment Jason.
Repeat that.
You have done that well, and you continue to do that well. It's what attracted me to this company years ago. It was like, yep, we got to show you how to open an office. But then, hey, what if down the road you want to do 8, 10, 12? You know, and it was. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that wholeheartedly of painting that bigger vision.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that's how we got as many A players as we did, because everyone that's with us right now is doing things that are incredible. I mean, they're opening their own places and their apartments on different levels. And so
People
are doing stuff. My goal is for the group that works with us to make more than anybody else and in other businesses. I mean, you guys should make more than other chiropractors that have dominant practices, because you have 10 or 15 or 20. And that's for Chelsea that's not a chiropractor, and Brandon that is a chiropractor. Like, I mean, we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to make millions, right? You know, we're talking 7-8 figures, not just like, here, you could make a really good living by doing this. And if you work for 5 years, we'll give you a 7 more days paid vacation. Like, big whoop. People don't want, they want to like not even have to go in the office is what people want, and have 52 weeks of vacation. So, you know, let's create this vision. That's amazing. But sorry, Chelsea, what were you going to say?
I don't remember.
It was important.
It was something along those lines. No, I actually do remember. So I was just going to say that sometimes that, you know, some of these people come in and it's not that they're like small minded or don't have big goals, but sometimes they just don't even think about what's fully possible. And so being able to show them that just opens up a new world for them, which I think, you know, I think most of the doctors in our company do a great job of that, especially, you know, under the influence of you two.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that, so I mean, it's a combination of hiring talent, knowing how to, we didn't always do that. Early on, we sometimes have to hire it out of necessity, which by the way, will fuck you over quicker than anything. If you're hiring because you've got to fill something and you just take what you have, sometimes you'll get lucky. More often than not, it's going to be something that bites you in the butt. So spend the extra time, effort, money, finding the right person. Don't hire someone because they're the best of these three. If those three all suck, it's just not worth it. So make sure you bring someone in that's going to be part of the team. But, you know, when you have the ability to hire those A players and some B players are essential as well. They're role players and those are important, but those are going to be important. Your training is essential to how to develop those people. Teaching them your vision and showing them what you're going to do is important and what that means for them. And then providing an environment, including salary and benefits and things like that, but also more just day to day, how it feels to walk into this office on a Monday morning. you want people not dreading that, but like, hell yeah, I can't wait to see everybody Monday. Can't wait to go home on Friday. Those are things you need to work on. Like everything we talk about as entrepreneurs, it's overwhelming because we covered probably 80 things. There's probably 750 things we didn't cover about hiring a dream team, and the future and success of your business depend upon it. But that's how important it is for you to get this right. So write it out, hire properly, and do the right things. It's essential. Closing thoughts from you guys.
I think we said it several weeks ago in one of our last podcasts that talent's out there right now. It's available. It's abundant. There's people looking for career changes, for moves. So take a look at your team and decide if the players are there, what do you need to pour into them to make them A players? If they're not quite, if they don't have a chance to get there, then make the moves and new talent's out there and available that you guys can build your teams off of.
Love it.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, the not hiring out of necessity thing, I think is super important, and always go with your gut on the new people that you're bringing in.
Yeah, I agree as well. And then I would say a lot of people I think are thinking like, well, great, from now on, I'll do the right thing and I'll hire the right people. But what about these people I'm dealing with right now that are not bad, but they're not great and they're not super motivated. And maybe they've seen me not be that motivating, you know, if I'm being honest. So I think for those people can still be saved, but you're going to have a tough conversation with them. And it's kind of saying, hey, listen, I know we've done things for 2 years this way, but we're not getting where we need to get. So for us to achieve our goals, here's what we're looking to do. And today's conversation is to determine if you want to be part of that vision. And you give them some hard questions. I know for 2 years we've done it this way. Hey, we're going this way now. We're doing things this way now. Here's what I'm going to do in that role. Here's what I need you to do or your position to do in that role. What are your thoughts on that? And see what they think. But I mean, it's not too late. Don't just say, oh, we're screwed. We already have people on our team. Change it. Change the team or change the goals, but see if those people are going to become B&A players. And if they are, move forward with them. If they're not, then find the right people. But don't do this just if you're going to hire new people or you're opening a new business. I'm talking to all you people out there, and there's more of you than there is the new people. There's more of you out there that have a team right now that think like, that person sucks, she's average, and that person's mediocre. Those people are who you need to address it with right now. It's gonna dictate your future and your success. So do it. All right, guys, it was awesome. Good topic, good conversation, integral part of growing a business for sure. But that being said, we will see you soon. Hope everyone's out there kicking ass and continuing to do amazing things. Peace.
Bye. Mm-hmm.